Continue our study of the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, a later part of chapter 10. Yesterday we studied God is a true and living God in chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. True, which means the value will last forever. Living means he will interact with us. And this God, according to chapter 10, verse 12 to 15, is almighty and is omniscient, has a lot of wisdom. Nothing is can hide from him. Everything is transparent before him. And he has answer to every question. And this God is a God full of love and mercy. So this God is our Father, and this God is our Lord, who is in control of our life. And instead of serving this good and wonderful Lord or the boss, the Israelites choose to serve the idol. The man-made God is a dead God without life. Can you imagine, after you graduate, every one of you, you like to work in the best company, right? And the best company had a lot of benefit, a good boss. Nobody try to work in a very no good company with a very mean boss, right? So the best way to live our life is to understand this God and to live a life of serving him. That will be the best. So in the beginning of our life, how do we live our life? We have to make a fundamental decision. I want to live my life based on serving God, or I want to live a life based on serving the idol. Idol, we already mentioned so many times, just like chapter 9, verse 24 and 23. Idol can be your career. Of course, if God wants to bless us, then your career can be promoted, that's fine. But if we consider career more important than God, it's become idol. Or we want to serve money. Money is neutral. If we have money to love God and love man, it's fine, it's good. But if we consider money is the primary goal of my life, then it's become idol. Or enjoyment or all of this. So in the beginning of life, we have to make a fundamental decision. Right? Who do I want to serve? Now, let's come to chapter 10, verse 23. Chapter 10, verse 23. Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walk to direct his own step. The way of man means our future. Is not in ourselves. Our future is in where? Is under the control of God, right? We can see Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. A man's steps are of the law. How then can a man understand his own way? Our steps, our future, is under the control of God. So he is a Lord. Lord means master. How can a man understand his own way? So how long will we live? We have no control, right? And after 10 years later, where are you going to go? It is in the hand of God. Who are you going to marry? It is the hand of God. Right? Our future step is under the control of God. Now, since the Bible says so, so can we determine our own future? Yes or no? The Bible says our step is under the hand of God. Can we decide our own future or not? Yes or no? Can we decide our own future? Yes or no? Now, let me make a survey. Huh? You think you can decide your own future? Raise your hand. Okay. You think we cannot decide our own future? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Let me make a point and you think about. Let's turn back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 4. Verse 3. And said to them, thus said the Lord, God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of his covenant. Verse 4. Which I commanded your father in the days I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your father, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. So if we read these two verses, in front of the people of Israel, there are two destinations. The first destination is Babylon, right? The second destination is the land they are dwelling, a land filled with honey and milk. So, if they decide to obey God, God already mentioned very clear, I'm going to keep my covenant with your forefather and you will live here forever. A land then filled with honey and milk. And God already made it very clear, if you continue to worship the idol, then impending judgment is coming. You will be captured into Babylon for 70 years now. They think about this statement. So our future is decided by God or decided by ourselves. In certain degree, our future is decided by ourselves and also by God. Because God already say, you keep my commandment, you will dwell here, I will be your God and I will bless you. But if you don't keep my commandment, most of you will be killed, and then those who survive will be under captivity for 70 years. So the Israelites, they have to think and they have to make decision. If they want to suffer, then they choose to disobey God. If they want to be blessed, and they choose to obey God. So yes, it's in the hand of God. But God has his own principle to decide our future. If we follow God's principle and to please him, then God will bless us. If we don't follow God's principle, we disobey him, then we will be cursed. So yes, it decided by God, but also decide on how do we make decision. So eventually, we have about 100 in here, NYTS including PMVP. Eventually, we are going to see everybody. You marry different person, and then we all have our own different family. But in the end of life, whether our marriage will be good or whether our family will be good, it all depends on how do we make decision. And when we make decision, do we do it in according to God's principle? Do we do it for the sake of pleasing God? If we really we do it to please God for God's glory, we will be blessed. Then when you reach to the year of 50, 40, 50, you are going to see the marriage very happy, the family is very good. But if we decide to go our own way, I just do whatever I want. I just do whatever which can please myself. I just go whatever will make me make more money. I just do whatever can get more promotion to higher position. I don't think about anything about God. It's almost you can predict. Probably marriage will break up in nowadays. Probably you're going to have a lot of family problem. And it's going to have a lot of problem. So, yes, it's determined by God. God will decide whether he wants to bless us or not. But we decide whether we want to receive God's blessing or not. So both ways. So from the book of Jeremiah. So here, we come here to learn how to live a life to please God. How to do a right thing in the eyes of God. And then we pray that God give us strength and power to make right decision, to do the right thing. And then all the future, you don't have to worry about. The future belongs to God. And God is good. Everything good, everything perfect is come from God. In him, there is no darkness. That's what the book of James is talking about. So if we really live a life very close to God, everything turn out will be good and perfect, and there will be no darkness there. If our life full with darkness, all because we turn away from God. So this is what we can learn from Jeremiah. So what is a wise person? Right. The wise person is the one who try their best to please the most important boss, God, the living God, the Lord. So this is chapter 10, and then we reach to chapter 11. And then we go into chapter 11. Verse 14. So do not pray for the people, or lift up a cry, or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time they cry out to me because of their trouble. So God already told Jeremiah, in front of them, there will be trouble. And then when they cry out to God, it's too late. Grace period already over. So you don't have to pray for them. I'm not going to listen to your prayer. So from here, we know that Jeremiah was a person who had great compassion to the people in that generation. And that exactly the one who wants to serve God needs to have. Have to have God's justice. At the same time, we need to have God's mercy. So we can serve God. Serving God actually is a work standing between God and man. When Jeremiah facing the Israelite people, he was conveying God's message. So he has to convey God's message with justice. What you do is wrong, that you have to return, But he also needs to show God's mercy and pray and intercede for them. So serving God actually is standing between God and man. And then Jeremiah will intercede for the Israel. He stands before God on behalf of the Israel. So he needs to have faith and compassion to pray for them. Just like most of you are RE teacher, right? You are RE teacher, don't think it's just like a visiting professor, right? Tomorrow is my assignment, so tonight I take a 30 minutes to prepare it, then I give a lesson, finish, and my job is done. That's only convey the knowledge. The real teacher should be a shepherd. When we are a shepherd, we stand before the student to represent God. We convey the message faithfully, what is right and what is wrong. But on the other hand, when we know the situation of our students, we have to stand before God to pray for our students. In that time, we need to have merciful heart and ask God to forgive them, ask God to guide them. So serving God needs to have God's characteristic, justice, and mercy. And serving God is standing between God and the members or our RE students. So this kind of life, we interact with God, not only interact with men. We'll give a lot of good experience. So this is chapter 11. Verse 6 to 8, God rebuked them for their breaking the covenant, curse. You can see the teaching material. And then, a doom of the chosen by provoking God, verse 14 to 17. Yesterday we already mentioned it. And from chapter 11, verse 18 to 23, the life of Jeremiah was threatened. How come his life was threatened? Because he conveys the message of doom. Everybody like to listen the message of blessing. But when they fail to repent, return, and God's message of punishment come to them. But instead of repent, they try to kill Jeremiah. So Jeremiah's life was threatened from 11:28 to 23. So they plot to silence Jeremiah, verse 18 to 19. And then the punishments of plotting against the prophet, 22 to 23. If we look, read 22 to 23, the one who tried to kill Jeremiah, the consequence is very serious, because he is represent God. Verse 22. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their son and their daughter shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring catastrophe on the men of Anathoth, even the year of their punishment. We know that David was chased by Saul, right? Because Saul was jealous about David. Also, when David running around on top of the mountain, actually he suffered a lot. But if we read the account from the Bible, David actually did not do anything wrong. But Saul was used possessed by Satan, evil spirit, and tried to kill him. At least there are two opportunities David was able to kill Saul. One inside the cave of the mountain. David's subordinate said, "Let me just kill it, then all your pain will release right now." Another time, they ran over to Saul's camp, and Saul was fall asleep. And they were able to kill Saul in that right moment, and all the suffering will be gone. But David dared not to this. David dared not to do so. Why? Because Saul was a person who was anointed. This is the point. He was anointed. Since he was anointed, he was used by God. If he used by God and God is his boss, so who am I? I can take the position of God to kill the one used by God. But if he is corrupted, God will deal with him in the due time, in the due process. God has his own process. God has his own grace period. So David was not, did not do anything. He only ran away. And when there was a due time, and Saul died in the battlefield. So this is to tell us that in the church, we have to respect the worker of God. And if they're used by God, their boss is God himself. And so if they had done something wrong, and God will deal with the person. As a member, we shouldn't hold the soul by ourselves and do any attack or spread a lot of negative message. It's not the right way. Here we learn the lesson, chapter 11, the book of Jeremiah. And now we look into chapter 12. In chapter 12, Jeremiah was puzzled by one thing. And these kind of things are always trouble us. Chapter 12, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet that man talk with you about your judgment. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? So Jeremiah has a problem. How come the wicked one prosper? It seems the righteous one, nothing happened, or even suffer. But the wicked one seems prosper, do better than the righteous person. So if there is God, how come God did not do anything? So he has a puzzle. Cannot understand. Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Those who have done treacherously seems the very happy life. And if we continue, verse 2, you have planted them, yes, they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. They are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. So in their mouth, they are very close to God, and their heart are very far away from God, but it seems nothing happened to them. And then later on, Jeremiah learned, eventually, God is going to called and accountable. Oh, so we look into a matter. Oh, we cannot only look in a very short time span. If we look into a very short time span, a lot of time we cannot understand how come there is God, God did not do anything. Oh. In the book of Psalm chapter 73, the righteous person looked into the wicked person, their heart was very troubled. Oh. But until one day, they enter into the temple of God and think about the future of the wicked person, and all of a sudden, they realize God is fair, God is justice. Because a lot of wrongdoing, even though not retributed in the time when they are alive, in the last day of judgment, everyone will be held accountable according to what we have done. So in the final judgment, everyone will be the same, equal. So don't use our physical eye, look at the wicked become prosper and the righteous they suffer and start to doubt about God. Whether there is God, if God is here, is the God of justice? Yes, God has no change. God's justice will eventually done in the final judgment. So sometimes the retribution come right away, just like impending captivity. And sometimes the retribution will come after we die. But eventually, it will be done. That's chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. Now we're looking to chapter, let me see. Chapter 12, the Lord answered Jeremiah's question in chapter 12. Why did the wicked prosper? In Psalm chapter 73, we already mentioned it. Jeremiah's trouble will increase, verse 5 to 6. And the Lord will judge Judah and forsake his house and his beloved to the enemy. From verse 7 to 13, we have no time to go into detail. And God's justice will follow by his mercy. Verse 14 to 17. And then we go into verse 14 to 17 to see God's nature, how he treats the wickedness of his chosen people. Chapter 12, verse 14. Thus is the Lord against all my evil neighbor who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Then it shall be after I have plucked them out, and I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, everyone to his heritage and everyone to his den, and I will be if they will learn carefully the way of my people to swear by my name. As the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. So what God tried to say is, now after God's justice been done, and God will start to show mercy to them, it will bring them back and they will prosper. So what does that mean? People's anger is to destroy, right? That when you become somebody's enemy and somebody is going to do everything to destroy you, why? Because you become enemy. But when God has anger to his chosen people, that anger is not to destroy the chosen people. That anger is to make the chosen people to return. So the anger of God is the last resort to turn back his chosen people. We know a lot of times we are the same thing. Without suffer, we are unwilling to change. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. But we are just so stubborn. We stick on the way we want to go until we suffer. And then we start to come back. Just like a prodigal son, right? And he packed everything he had and go to a very far away place. And the father was not able to see him. And he was too able to live whatever life he wanted to live. Until he started to suffer. Right? He had nothing to eat. He had to take care of the shrine, which is so insult to his status as a chosen people. It's why he's an unclean animal. And he realized, if I continue to live this kind of life, I'm going to die. So in that right moment of suffering, he realized, I have to return to the Father. Now, so when he returned to the Father did not rebuke even one sentence, did not say any bad words. The Father welcomed him and kissed him and gave him a good clothes and slaughtered the animal to entertain him. And that exactly the Father we worship. And that exactly the Father mentioned in the end of chapter 12. So when we suffer, don't think God already don't like me, God already cut off the relation with me. No. The time we receive the baptism, we already established this relationship. We are the Prince of God. And the suffering, a lot of time, is just to bring us back to Him. And once we really repent, and God will show mercy to us again. But still, the wise person don't have to go through that process. All right? The wise person, we learn from other people's mistake, and then we just try to obey God and do everything right in front of God. And we can be blessed without suffering anything. So this is chapter 12. We can learn God's two characteristics, his mercy and his justice, and both of them go hand by hand. So when we are suffering, there still has hope because God loves us. And 13, chapter 13, chapter 13, God instructed Jeremiah if we read the teaching material, E, a symbol of the wine bottle that was in 13, 12 to 14, but previous one, symbol of the linen sash, linen belt. Jeremiah was instructed to bury in the riverside, and for a period of time, he dig it out and found out the belt already rotten, which means the Israelites were under captivity and being punished by God. And verse 8, we can think about something from verse 8 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 8. Then the words of the Lord come to me, saying, thus says the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Now come to the pride of Judah, great pride of Jerusalem. And these evil people who refuse to hear my words and who follow the dictate of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them. So verse 9 talk about the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. What was that? Now think about the one question. Why did angel fall? Why? Angel was very beautiful, right? Why did angel fall? Pride, yes. Angel was a spirit created by God. Is to serve God. According to the book of Jude, right? You can read the book of Jude before Revelation. Jude, verse 6. And the angel who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chain under the darkness for the judgment of the great day. So is that what is that really talking about? Angel is a serving spirit. So angel is not God. He was serving God, but he was not God. But when angel think he want to be like God, and that become proud. So we human being, we are created by God. We are not God. But if we try to take the position of God, then we become proud. Also, we come back to chapter 13, say, Judah's pride and Jerusalem's great pride. What does that mean? They already stand on the position of God. Right? So when God sent the angel, asked them to repent, they just don't care about it. How come they don't care about it? Because they are considered themselves equal with God, right? Just like in your family, if you are a sibling, right? And a lot of times you don't want to listen what the sibling is talking about because we are all the same, right? But if we consider ourselves the same with God, then it's pride. But on the other hand, what does humility, what does humble means? Humble means to exalt God as our Lord. Really, from the bottom of heart, I accept the fact that God is in control of me. He is higher above me. So I have to seek his approval in everything I do. That's called humble, humility. If I put God aside, I plan everything by myself. I don't need God. God, you just go aside, right? I plan everything myself. That's called pride. Now, let's turn to James, the book of James. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. We are all very familiar with the story. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you, chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 13. Okay. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, I will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Verse 14, where's you do not know what will happen tomorrow or what is your life. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance, and such boasting is evil. Look, the businessman is very good in planning, right? I want to go certain city and live there 1 year and make money. What's wrong with that? Right? Just like the same, we are planning, right? I'm going to apply which school. I'm going to spend there 4 years. I'm going to start which major, right? After graduate, I'm going to study, work 2 more years, and then I'm going to apply for graduate study. So we all have a plan, and our plan is almost exactly identical with the businessman, The only difference is businessman is for making the money, and we are planning for our study, our future, right? But this kind of planning in the eyes of God, your arrogance and all such boasting is evil. Why? Because if we don't do all the planning, there is no God. The businessman thought, I can hold on my own future. But to God, no. Your life is in the hand of God. If God doesn't allow, you cannot even live tomorrow. Oh. So why you plan so far away? Oh. Yes, we can plan. But in the bottom of heart, we have to admit God is in control of my life. Only if God's will, my plan can be fulfilled. Oh. So while we are planning our future, the best way is just Lord's Prayer. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And that called humility. We admit you are control me. I belong to you. So this is my plan. If you don't think it's good for me, please change it. There's a flexibility for God to change it. And that's called humble. If we plan by ourselves and we think this is final, nobody can change, even God cannot change, then it's become pride, proud. So when we kneel down, instead of God, what is your will? When we kneel down, we start to pray, God, if you love me, let me make a right turn. Right. Help me to make a right turn. If you don't make me right turn, then you don't love me. If you love me, help me to make a right turn. Then what? God becomes servant, we become God, right? A lot of time we pray in that way. So what is pride? Pride means we are in control of ourselves. We don't want to God to intervene. What is humility? Humility means we want to let God to decide for me, to guide me. I'm waiting to submit. That's called humility. So in the human sense, we can be very humble. But also, at the same time, we can be very proud. Humble in a way, we don't want to take credit. Humble in a way, we don't want to glorify ourselves. But in the eyes of God, we can be very proud because we don't want to submit our future to His will. Chapter 13, we can see the Israelites in the eyes of God. Actually, they are very proud. And then 12 to 14, the battle, eventual destruction of Judah. Leader and the people, they are like getting drunk. Drunk about what? Drunk not because of wine. Drunk about God's wrath. God's wrath is just like a wine, right? The more you drink, the more you cannot control yourself. They call drunk, right? When God's wrath pour on them, and they've been tossed around, but tribulation, but the enemy, is like getting drunk. They have no control about them. Why? Because God's wrath control them through the invasion of foreign nation. And all of this eventually turn to verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 15. Okay, hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble. So one more time, give glory to God. How? To worship him as God, to honor him as a God. Before your feet stumble, before darkness come, before the punishments of come. So God did give them a grace period, want them to return, but they refused to return. So this God decide their fate. for captivity under 70 years. Last verse, 17, that we have raised. But if you will not hear it, my soul will weep in the secret for your pride. My eye will weep bitterly and run down with the tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Save the king and the queen of mother. Humble yourself and sit down, for your rule shall collapse. So humility brings blessing. Pride brings destruction, especially in front of God. Let's pray inside.